Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's 6 o'clock. Time for the morning mashup.
A recap of the biggest stories of the morning with John and Hugh.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning show on this Monday, April 27th with John and Hugh from the Mobile Kia Studios. 6 o'clock hour always begins with kind of a bang. The morning mashup from Oren Romain, who's holding down the fort at 14th and Peachtree. Morning to you, Oren.
Hey, I'm here by myself again. Nobody here. What's crazy too is that, like, the person who's in before me, Ken, like, he didn't really even say good morning. The first thing he says to me is goodbye. He's leaving. That's like the first thing I get from him. So on the way out. So yeah.
Denizens of the night. Indeed. You know, of course, I got to give it to him. I mean, when you're leaving at O'Dark, you're probably a little tired. That overnight shift, it's like, oh yeah, goodbye. I tried to say let's do that. All right, let's get into the morning mashup. All the fun stuff. Here we go. Story number one.
Where are you? Where have you gone without me? I thought you cared about me. Where?
You all know Mr. Brady, Tom Brady, is down there in Tampa now, and he got kicked out of a park last week or a couple weeks ago working out when he shouldn't have been working out there. Well, he extends his thanks to the folks of Tampa Bay thus far for being very welcoming neighbors, except for that one time he got kicked out of a park.
I'm so happy to be in Tampa Bay, and I wanted to say thank you guys for welcoming me and my family into your community with open arms outside of getting kicked out of the park the other day. I'm so excited to be a Buck. We have an incredibly exciting season ahead. I can't wait until we can get together as a team, start our practices, and start working hard to improve. There's a lot of work to be put in between now and the start of the season, but I'm looking forward to seeing you guys at Raymond James in a couple short months. I promise you that. So stay safe, everyone, and let's go Bucks.
Look at Tom Brady trying to have a little bit of a personality. That's all I got from that, you know. No, seriously, because it's like, you know, it's funny, when he was a Patriot, didn't really get a chance. He didn't really say a whole lot, was always kind of serious. It felt like he was always serious. Feels like he's loosened up a little bit down there in Tampa over the last couple of interviews that I've heard from him. So good for him.
The whole Tampa Bay thing is kind of silly to me, but yeah, maybe it's just getting away from Belichick, or maybe he's just comfortable in his own skin and it doesn't feel like he has the pressure to win a Super Bowl. And if he does, he does. He doesn't, he doesn't. And at this point in his life, or maybe Giselle's just happy to be out of the cold weather and she's happier, and that's who knows. Interesting with Tom Brady now down in Tampa, that's gonna be wild to watch, and we're gonna see it front and center. All right, here we go. Morning mashup story number two.
All right, one of the more shocking picks in the first round of the NFL draft last week was the Packers, who have glaring needs at all kind of skill positions, deciding to take a quarterback in the first round. set of one of the wide receivers and one of the deepest wide receiver classes we've seen in a very long time. Much was made about Aaron Rodgers' reaction to that, but new draft pick, first rounder, Jordan Love said he's talked to Aaron, and Aaron seems pretty cool with him, and he seems pretty cool with Aaron.
Well, the next experience will be hanging out with Aaron Rodgers. The question is, have you had any conversations with him already since you've been drafted?
Yeah, I was able to talk with him earlier. Really good guy. Just congratulating me. I was just letting him know that I'm excited to be able to work with him.
What do you hope to be able to learn from a guy who's a Super Bowl champion?
It's a lot of things to be able to learn. I'm just going to take it step by step and just trying to get behind him and learn everything that he's doing and just try and understand the process.
I commend him for that. I mean, because that was the biggest thing. Like, that was one of the things that jumped out to me immediately right after he got drafted, was how was Aaron Rodgers going to handle that. I don't know if Brett Favre called him when he got drafted. I would venture to say probably not, with some of the things that Brett Favre said about him, or not so much about him, but just, about the situation. So I commend him for that. That's a tough spot to be in. Him and Carson Wentz. Both teams drafted quarterbacks pretty high this weekend. The Philadelphia Eagles drafted one as well. So for him to make that phone call, I commend him for that.
Yeah, we saw in the past where some star quarterbacks weren't too happy with, understudies, like how Tom Brady allegedly treated Jimmy Garoppolo and the whole TB12 thing when Garoppolo was in New England, or how Brett Favre, you treated Aaron Rodgers when Rodgers sat on the bench for 3 years. Can you imagine the numbers Aaron Rodgers would have put up in his career if he didn't sit on the bench for 3 years behind Brett Favre? But, sometimes these guys, they don't want that next guy coming in because it's their job. They don't want to lose it.
Yeah, but who knows what Aaron Rodgers would have been if he'd have played his first season out the gate. You just never know. Not saying that he would have been a bust, but you just never know. Some guys, that first year in the NFL, if it doesn't go well for him, it could shake him to the core. But I commend him for reaching out to him, calling him, having a conversation with him. I can't see a whole lot of quarterbacks doing that. I really can't.
And Matt LaFleur of course, we know a little bit about Matt. He was quarterback's coach here on his way to becoming the head coach of Green Bay, who apparently wanted to trade up to get Jordan Love. He really thinks that Jordan Love, and maybe rightfully so. I mean, Jordan Love, big, strong guy, a prototypical quarterback, 6'4", big arm, can really heave it. So, he thinks that Jordan Love is the future in Green Bay. We'll see. Story number three in the morning mashup.
So the NFL first round was loaded with SEC prospects. I think more than half of the first round this year was SEC guys. So that's a very easy thing to do to recruit if you're an SEC coach. Just say, like, hey, you want to end up in the NFL? Come to the SEC. Well, Kirby Smart was on Paul Feinbaum's show last week, and he said that some opposing coaches are maybe using that competition thing to a disadvantage.
But you wouldn't believe what some coaches outside our conference tell kids. They'll sell to a kid. It's better to not go to the SEC because it's too tough. It's too competitive. It's too physical. You might get beat up. You might get banged up. You might not have as good a career there that you will somewhere else. Well, that's not the way the NFL GMs are looking at it, and that's not the way the NFL coaches are looking at it. They want to take kids that want to compete at the highest level, that want to go play in those big-time matchups, and that's what the kids want. They want to go play in the biggest games and the biggest places, and that's what they aspire to do. So for a coach in maybe another conference to sell that, hey, it might be a little easier path to come over here and go this way, it just speaks volumes. You want kids to be able to see through that.
That's kind of weird to me. Why would you tell a kid, hey, you're going to go somewhere and you can get beat up? That's weird. You can go to any school and be involved in some physical confrontations out there on the football game, on the football field. Football is a physical sport. I would think that if I had the ability and an SEC school wanted me, I would have rather went to an SEC school. I enjoyed my time at HBCU, no question about that. But when you talk about, like, being up north and tuning in to anything that the SEC was playing on a Saturday when we got out, like the late games and things of that nature, that's what you wanted to be a part of. I remember when I was in school, there was Eric Copeland and Curry, the two defensive linemen from Alabama. And I remember when they were coming out and how much they were touted during that time and how much everybody talked about Alabama way back then. Yeah, I mean, if you want to go, if you want to be in, if you can go to the elite conferences, why not as a player?
I don't know why Kirby Smart's complaining about losing. What's the recruiting every year? Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Clemson, Ohio State, Oklahoma. That's it, right? I mean, you're getting the number one class every year. I don't. Anyway, it was a little confusing to me. You're still getting the best players, aren't you, Kirby? I think so. Here it is, morning mashup story number four.
All right, so Leonard Fournette, the Jaguars running back, they were unsuccessful in trying to move him this past weekend for draft picks. Well, Leonard, I think, is going to find his way out of town. He's going to burn it all down before he leaves. Here he talks about his favorite memory as being a Jaguar thus far, and it involves an old teammate in A.J. Green.
I cherish that moment every day, Jalen, in the
body. Oh, my God.
We just
got to
talk about that. I said, Jalen, like, rule number one, in the hood, why would you ever turn your back on someone? Yeah. You know? So we put Jalen in the angle lock with the choke in the out of his
What? It was a whole lot of bleeping going on. I need a narrator.
So he basically said that he carries the memory of Jalen Ramsey getting choked out by A.J. Green on the field during a football game. Makes him happy to remember that. And he also talks about, like, why would Jalen ever turn his back on somebody that was dumb on his part? He put him in a Kurt Angle-like chokehold and choked him out.
They don't sound like they're going to be friends after that.
Not one bit.
That was real specific.
Yeah, they got problems down in Jacksonville, too. Unhappy guys of Fournette and Ngakoue. All right, morning mashup story number five.
Last night, we had The Last Dance, episodes 3 and 4. Episode 3, to me, was probably the highlight thus far of the entire series, focusing on Dennis Rodman. We played last week when Jordan said that Dennis wanted to take this little in-season trip to Vegas. Well, Dennis didn't quite come back on time the way that everybody thought he would.
He didn't come back on time. Ready to go get his ass out of bed. And I'm not going to say what's in his bed and where he was and blah, blah, blah.
There's a knock on the door. It's Michael Jordan.
That right there was enough. I know Mike didn't want to tell, but that right there tells it all. He was in the bed with Carmen Electra. If nobody saw it, which I'm pretty sure everybody did, he was in the bed with Carmen. He was in Vegas with Carmen Electra, I'm assuming. And for Michael Jordan to roll up in the room like that, that had to be one heck of a sight. I would have loved to been in that room to just see what Dennis Rodman had going on. Because during that episode, you saw everybody was really, really vague about the partying, and she was kind of vague about, she just said that he liked to hang out and he liked to go hard in the paint and all this other stuff. I kind of wonder who else was there, because you know she was there, but it kind of sounded like somebody else might have been there as well.
Yeah, that was, if you haven't seen Last Dance, some of the stuff that you're seeing, and I mean, you broadly know this story, but boy, when you get down into the nitty-gritty and some of the details, this is it's a great television show. It really is a tremendous television show. Even if you're not necessarily a gigantic Bulls fan or even a basketball fan, it's really intriguing because it's a little bit about basketball, but it's more about all the other things. All right, one final, do we have time for story number six?
Yeah, we're going to close out here real quick. So there was a Key and Peele skit a few years ago when they did the East-West College Bowl game, and they had all the guys doing funny names, fake names. Well, a couple of NFL prospects decided to do the same thing this past weekend, and here it is.
Air Elair, School of Louisiana Aeration.
I'm too fast for you, Hot Wheels College.
Tua, everything, Flexonom University.
I'm not a player, I just sack a lot, like Big Pun from the School of Pass Rushers.
The Honorable Judge Judy presiding over your ankles.
Flo Stradamus, Long Hair Don't Care University.
Dobbin Hood, not a ham castle.
Cole World from the Land of Eternal Winter.
Okay, that was a little different. I see that some of the guys were kind of creative with it. Don't have a whole lot for this one. What you think, John?
Do you know how you would announce yourself, you? Or is it you want to think about that one?
How I would announce myself, can't say it on the radio, John. I got to keep it clean.
It is the morning show on Monday, April the 27th from the Mobile Kia Studios. That was a morning mashup. Next up, Abe the producer gets to go to bat. He's in the on-deck circle with the morning menu. We'll do that after a CBS Sports Minute.
There's a three-course meal headed your way. This is the Morning Menu on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Out from the Mobile Kia Studios, John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Monday morning, time for the Morning Menu, and Abe, the producer, from the Mobile Kia Studios there in Dunwoody. Hey, Abe.
What's going on, fellas? How was your weekend?
Top of the morning to you. Weekend was awesome. Didn't do a whole lot. Was at Club Bed all weekend long, man, and hung out, you know, had a couple drinks and just chilled out.
Yeah, pretty much just spent a couple hours at the... Did stuff like that. How was yours? I trust yours was the same, Abe?
Yeah, my sounds pretty much like you and I had similar weekends. Club Bed, as he puts it, took a couple of visits there. So, yeah, everything was good, man. Everything was – it was nice to – I mean, I know the draft isn't sports. It's not a competitive situation, but it was nice to have something fresh to talk about. And then, obviously, the Last Dance last night or this morning, whenever you were able to watch it. So it was pretty good weekend. Looking forward to chatting about the rest of it throughout the rest of the show. And, of course, the Morning Menu has a very heavy draft touch to it as well. And we'll start there. Your appetizer round focuses on the Falcons draft. One pick on day one, two picks on day two, and three picks on day three. We're going to focus on that third day. Day three, the three picks, two in the fourth round, one in the seventh, a linebacker, a safety, and a punter. Which day three pick do you think could be the sleeper of this Falcons class?
I'm going to go out of limb and I'm going to say the punter. I'm going to say the punter could be the sleeper. Just because he's a punter. And nobody expected them to get one. You know, when they got young Wei Koo here and they never, you know, they didn't expect to get one. I mean, it wasn't expected to get that at that position.
Yeah, I didn't expect Matt Bosch or Matt Bryant to just suddenly kind of, you know, I mean, Bryant with the injury, and both
Sterling
were injured.
Hofflinger.
Yeah, they both just sort of kind of just, that was it. It was kind of abrupt, and now you do have Young Wei Koo and Ryan Allen. And, yeah, I think actually, I know that this is probably obvious. You know, Michael Walker, the linebacker from Fresno State, kind of, you know, they talk about, you know, mixed reviews about him and looking at some of his tape, he is kind of a high motor guy. But what intrigues me, Hugh, about Michael Walker is when you put a guy like, you know, he's a fourth rounder like Devondre Campbell was, but when you put him with a coach like Jeff Ulbricht, good things happen, Hugh. Good things can happen with a guy like Jeff Ulbricht.
He's a good coach. No question about that. And, you know, the one thing about it, he's going to get all he can out of this young man. That's what I would assume that that's going to be the case.
Yeah, so my answer to your question here is going to be Abe, Michael Walker, the linebacker out of Fresno.
Yeah, I kind of lean the way you do as well there, John. I think Michael Walker's an interesting prospect, and certainly the role within the team is still to be determined, and as we see what sort of formation they decide to play most of the time and how often he gets into the field. But, I mean, he's going to come in and immediately is your backup linebacker should anything happen to Debo or to Foye. So it's a very interesting situation for him. And like you said, he's one of those guys. I don't think we were able to see his full potential at the college level. He's got a lot of measurables, and you can measure certain things out, speed, strength, size, et cetera. But he's going to be an interesting one. And I wonder how often Jalen Hawkins, the safety out of Cal, can even get on the field. I mean, the safety position with the guys we have now, the cornerbacks and adding A.J. Terrell and KZ and that defensive secondary is pretty loaded. So he's coming into a tough spot there. Whereas Michael Walker's only got those two guys in front of him, and then he's that third guy. So he should get plenty of run.
Right. But to Hugh's point, you know, why would you draft Hofrichter if Ryan Allen did a good job last year, unless you believe that this Hofrichter out of Syracuse can be kind of a special?
Brought in Sam Irwin Hill as well, and I know they had some visa issues and whatever it was that kept him from actually playing. But I think he's also technically with the squad, and so – that one was an odd selection to me. I'm not really sure what the mindset was there, but like you said, I mean, I thought Ryan Allen did a pretty good job when he was called upon. you know, it didn't shank too many. I mean, that's really the only way you can really mess up as a punter is shanking them. So
shankopotamus.
That's right. So, that was a weird pick, but
unless it was weird, it's only weird if it's a wasted pick. It's not weird if suddenly you look back, you know, and say we understand why you drafted this guy because look at him now. I mean, so they must really like something in his game.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I feel like that's a discussion you have for kickers. I feel like a lot of guys can come in and punt, and the difference is pretty much not noticeable. So that's just my mindset. I'm sure they feel differently, and we'll see what happens.
But field position is going to be, you know, potentially a critical battle this year. When you're talking about, again, in this division, you want Brady and those guys to go long field.
The difference between the best punter in the NFL and an average punter in the NFL is like 7 yards. I don't think the punter is going to be a difference maker.
Boy, you do not.
Walker, Jalen Hawkins. No, I do. Hey, I'm a soccer player. I punted, I kicked, but I'm just like, I think the difference between the best punter in the NFL and the worst punter in the NFL is so much smaller than the best kicker and worst kicker in the NFL.
Yeah, but that's 7 yards.
I think that's the difference I'm looking at.
That 7 yards can make a difference, though. That could be a huge difference, though. I hear what you're saying, but that can make a difference. That could be a difference.
Anyway. It can make a difference, but, just for me, having a really, really good punter compared to the importance of having a really, really good kicker or a really, really good backup line, I mean, it's just so far down on the list. So,
no, I got you.
At the end of the day, maybe he does become the best punter in the NFL, but even then, I'll be like, all right, it's still a punter. It's still a punter. Speaking of guys that may not have much of an impact, but we're going to talk about them anyways, your main course here. We talked about Taysom Hill signing a 2-year, $21 million deal. I think 16 of that's guaranteed, replaces the 1-year contract he was on. And there's also reports and rumors of Jameis Winston being looked at very seriously by New Orleans. I don't believe we have any official contract there yet, but Jameis Winston, it appears, is going to be headed to New Orleans. So let's assume that the reports are all true and that he will be going to the Saints. Who's going to be the backup quarterback should Drew Brees get hurt or have to miss any time? Who's playing backup for the Saints next season?
I'm going to say Jameis Winston because I haven't seen Taysom Hill throw a ball in the pros. Haven't seen him play in college. Haven't seen him throw, one incomplete pass or something in the pros? Yeah. So I'm gonna say Jameis. Jameis is going to get that nod.
Hey, you're signing Jameis Winston to be your backup. Taysom Hill is your jack-all-trades. You gave him an awful lot of money, but you're signing Jameis to be your backup.
He got that
if something
hush
happens
money.
To Drew Brees, Jameis is in.
Taysom Hill got that hush money. Hirsch. Go ahead and Hirsch. You ain't going to be the quarterback, Hirsch.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. It's obviously the same situation we saw with Teddy Bridgewater, right?
I mean,
Drew Brees does go down, and instead of bringing Taysom Hill there into the field on every play, it's Teddy Bridgewater, and Taysom Hill still used as that gadget guy, and he does what he does on special teams and as a receiver and blah, 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 blah. So I ask you then, based off of that, what is the future for Taysom Hill? He's got $21 million. They've talked about liking him as a quarterback. But if you don't trust him to be your backup now, why would you trust him to be your starter in the future?
I think that they want to see how he works out. I think that there are some that believe that he probably could play quarterback. And by them paying him, you know, that's that money that you give that you know, we believe in you. You just got to show us. Maybe that's what it is. That's a lot of money to give to a guy that's probably not going to play quarterback, though. For real.
Especially a guy who's 30 years old.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's very – I mean, I think I'm happy with how it's playing out there because it feels like it's going to put them behind the eight ball in terms of when Brees is gone. But I don't know what they're thinking. Okay, final question here. We've done the inverse of this before, a movie that you haven't seen that people are surprised. We're going to change it up. What's a movie you have seen that surprises people when – you tell them that you are a fan of that film or are aware of it. What's something you have seen people expect that you wouldn't have?
You going first, John, or you want me to go first?
No, I'm thinking. I'm trying to think here. I Sure, it's one of the ones I saw with my daughter when I was young.
I got one for you. I saw Human Centipede. It was weird. It was really weird.
You know what? You know what's funny? And Oren might be able to back me up with this. That actually doesn't surprise me that you would have seen Human Centipede.
I've watched a lot of movies. Like, I had a few that I had to really sit here and really kind of figure out whether or not I wanted to share with you guys. But yeah, I watched a few weird movies, but I watched Human Centipede.
Just once?
I just watched it once.
Yeah, that's a movie that I have no desire to see. Yeah. Yeah, no. I'll have to think about that. Answer it online. I'll answer it on our... online on our Twitter, and you can answer all those questions on our Twitter at 929TheGame on Twitter. Getting ready for a little bit of reaction to the and your chance to weigh in at 404-741-0929. What do you think of the Falcons draft so far? With John and you on the morning show on Sports Radio 929TheGame, and of course streaming at radio.com.
From these guys, and the reason being is seeing these guys, their traits, and really came from like really big, you know, they were big high school recruits going into college and being big recruits in that space and performing at a really high level. So for both Marlon and for AJ, they've really hit a lot of the markers from being excellent high school players, going into college, being excellent college players, competing at excellent levels against top competition. Those usually are guys that transfer well into the NFL.
Falcons head coach Dan Quinn talking about his 2020 NFL draft class. And welcome back to the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game as we talk about the draft and whatnot. The draft got, as we expected, record-smashing TV ratings, all-time high TV ratings across the board. Nearly 20 million people, they said, at one point when the Dolphins were drafting Tua. Not even close to, you know, any other draft, Hugh. And the NFL pulled it off, we expected. And so when the numbers came out for the NFL ratings, it was no surprise to us because of the, you know, the lack of news, everything else. It's sort of, you know, this whole kind of confluence of events that would lead to record-smashing ratings. But they did get record ratings for the NFL draft, that's for sure. I guess we look at the kind of ratings now as far as grades go for the teams. And I mentioned at the beginning of the show, if you're just joining us, there's a bit of a disconnect between the local reaction to the Falcons class, the national reaction. The national reaction is generally positive. B-plus at Sports Illustrated, B-plus at Yahoo, B-plus at CBS Sports, B-plus at NFL.com. So close to an A in a lot of major national publications, but the AJC and some of the locals are not so kind. I think D-Leg gave the class a C-. How do you look at this class, Hugh? What do you say about these guys that are in this class as a whole, as a group? Did the Falcons address the needs they were after?
I think they filled some needs that they definitely needed. They filled some holes that they definitely needed. I think with Marlon Davidson, I think you're getting a versatile player that can play inside and outside. I think that – so when you talk about that, might not be, you know, the guy that – you know, we look at to blazing off the corner, but bigger dude, bigger body, has some wiggle to him, has some movement about his pass rush. I think that he'll be an asset in pass rush. And he can also be in a position where he takes some pressure off of Tack and puts Tack in a position where Tack could probably be a little bit more successful in his pass rush. Who knows? That's how I kind of look at it, John. I look at this as – I look at him as pieces of the whole. And, you know, when you talk about that defensive line and lining those guys up, I can see him sliding inside or sliding outside and having some things, him and Tack running stunts together or something like that. I could definitely see something like that happening.
How do you grade the draft out there? If you go to our Twitter at 929TheGame, you can vote on our Twitter and you can vote you loved it. It filled the needs. You can vote it was the best we could do considering kind of where you were at 16 and 47 and 78. You could vote it's too soon to tell, and you could have voted it could have been better. That, again, is at our Twitter, at 929TheGame. Go in, vote on those, and then, of course, you can weigh in the comments section as well and how you feel about the Atlanta Falcons draft. Love it, filled needs, best we could do, too soon to tell, or it could have been better. That's at our Twitter, at 929TheGame. Hugh, if I can, I'd like to take a moment here and really get your expert opinion in regards to Marlon Davidson. We're going to hear from him at the top of the hour in the interview he did with Andy and Randy, but I managed to pull a one of the big scouts' takes on Marlon Davidson. I'd like to read this to you and tell me what you can do. You know the position so well, this is going to, you'll know exactly what he's talking about. I'd like to read this to you and have you react to it. Is that all right?
That's fine.
This is what they're talking about, the 6'3", 300-pound defensive tackle Marlon Davidson. When it comes to, we're just going to focus on one thing, pass rush. Okay, just that technique. It says here, according to the scouts, hands are active and effective in short areas, which is a big deal for his ceiling. Cross chop, club game is really strong, allows him to get to the outside shoulder as both an interior and outside rusher. Ability to work hands in harmony with his hips to clear rush angle, force the quarterback off his point. Must continue to develop a secondary rush off his initial hand usage to work inside counters, given how frequently he gets pushed beyond the set point. Would also like to see a greater work of bull rush push-pull sequence, given his power. Now, obviously, you can dissect that to plain English for us, but what do you make of this?
Basically, he gets to the edge. Like, that's what I got. That's what I saw. I saw it when they showed the highlights of him. Plays well, like, from side to side. And what I mean by that is he gets to the edge quickly. He has very fluid motions in his hips where he can get to the quarterback. Big guy. Big, quick guy. I mean, that's the thing that I saw from him. As far as the bull rush is concerned, they were talking about maybe he needs to do a little bit more than that because of his size. He wanted to probably be more of a finesse guy. Maybe that's what it was. But for a bigger guy, for him to be able to play all three positions – like he has, you know, he played a little bit of linebacker. That's pretty impressive. And he can carry that weight well because they say he was like 303 now and his weight fluctuates. That's pretty impressive to be that big and be able to do some of the things that he's doing.
Marlon Davidson, big defensive tackle out of Auburn. One of the other things that you might read is that he got kind of lost in terms of, you know, national because of Derek Brown and the attention on Derek Brown, but that Marlon Davidson is a star in his own right. And the Falcons certainly feel that he is going to be a guy that can, you know, when you start thinking about, you know, pass rush for the Atlanta Falcons, some fans go, why didn't you go, when you're sitting at 16, you couldn't trade up, why didn't you just automatically go pass rush at that point and go get, you know, an A.J. Epinesa, who, by the way, I don't think he went till, you know, rather late, because you felt like there was, you know, the depth and quality of the position, Hugh, pass rush in that interior line, that there were a lot of guys that you could go after. You may say maybe you got two or three guys that you're looking at in round two, and maybe Davidson's the number one guy going, look, we're going to take our chance that he's going to be there, but we have to shore up our defensive secondary, and then you start ranking the secondary guys, and you go, okay, you've got Akuda 1 and Henderson 2 and A.J. Terrell 3, and then there's a drop-off. You at that point, when you're playing draft here, when you're talking about the draft, you can't automatically just – take, you know, an area of need. You sometimes, if you've got multiple areas of need, you have to take the one guy, even though some people think it's a reach, you got to take that one guy because the options beyond him are not very good. And so I think that's kind of the position. That's the sense I get of the position the Falcons were in this draft.
I don't understand that. I from what I've heard that Terrell was one of the best corners in the game. I mean, when you say you take a position where you're reaching, that's what it sounds like when you say that. Like, say a reach is probably would have been Epinesa or Gross Models at that spot. Mm-hmm. But you got a good player. You got somebody that you can leave over there on the island by himself, and you feel like he can handle his business. And you also got a longer guy that when you look at the receivers in this division. They're big guys, and now you're playing that. When you talk about playing a long game and having guys that are bigger, they can compete against those bigger receivers. I think that's what they wanted. I think that's what the Falcons wanted. They wanted to get big and physical. They wanted to be like they were the year they had Jalen Collins. You know, when he came in, bigger corner, bigger physical guy, played very well. I think that's what they wanted to be from the jump. They wanted to be a bigger physical team.
And I know a lot of fans right now are down, and rightfully so. You go 7-9 and 7-9. A lot of fans are a little bit down on TD, and I think this is fair to say TD and DQ. And this is we talk about a prove it year for them, and so I get that, and rightfully so. And it is a prove it year for them. But the assumption that Raheem Morris wouldn't have had any say in this, given the fact that he was the one much credited with kind of being the guy that turned the team around in the second half of the year, especially on the defensive side of the football when they went 6-2, I think that Raheem Morris probably was like looking at a lot of film with these guys too, and he had, you know, quite a bit. I'm sure he had quite a bit to say in regards to what defenders they were going to take, because they knew going in, Hugh, that it was going to be a defensive draft, and they had to kind of go, okay, what are we going to play for a scheme, and what guys fit that role, Raheem? It wasn't like they just said, okay, here, Raheem, here's this guy, take him and do something with him.
No, they definitely didn't do that, John. Every time you go into the draft, regardless to what the situation is, you got to have a game plan, and you have to get guys that fit your scheme. I mean, that goes without saying. You got to get guys that fit your scheme, because that's basically what you're battling to get out of the division. I can't say that enough. When you get those corners and you get those guys that you've gotten, you got them because they match up well with who you have in the division. You look at the taller receivers that are in the division. You want taller corners. That's what it's all about. It's all about matchups, and it's all about getting out of the NFC South.
And, of course, that NFC South is not just alone. You have other guys you're going to have to face this year. The Falcons have a loaded, lethal opponent list here with quarterbacks all over the place that they're going to have to deal with. But they get a number of guys, especially at the top on defense, and a corner and a defensive tackle that are penciled to start right away in A.J. Terrell and Marlon Davidson. We're going to hear from Marlon Davidson in just a moment. How do you grade the Falcons draft? You can vote on our Twitter at 929 The Game. You love it. Filled needs. Best we could do. Too soon to tell, or could have been better. And when you vote, you can also jump into the conversation and leave a comment telling you why you voted the way you voted in this poll. It's right now up alongside the morning menu on our Twitter at 929 The Game. As mentioned, the Marlon Davidson interview, Andy and Randy talked to the big stud defensive tackle out of Auburn. We have that interview. We're going to play it for you next on the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 929 The Game and radio.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.